Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Praise the Lord. This evening is indeed a joyous occasion, and we want to join together with six of our brothers and sisters in our midst who have truly taken a bold step to be baptized. And even as we celebrate with them this evening on this important milestone in their life, it's important to really understand exactly what this whole rite of baptism is all about. Why is it that we need to get baptized? Why is it that the six of them need to immerse themselves in water? Well, of course, there's a whole lot of theological implications behind this question. But simply put, you know, as you have witnessed, baptism is simply a momentous time. All right, the time where the individual takes a special step of faith and declares in public to all of you in the renunciation of the old way of life and then moving into this new way in life of Christ Jesus. And truly we want to rejoice with them as they begin this new life. And so we find that water is being used here to really signify, you know, that cleansing away of the old life and as they rise up really into this new way. All right. But I just want to stress to you this very important thing. What is important is not that moment. Though important though it may be that you have given your life, you've taken that step and so forth. But what I want to, more importantly, want to tell you, it's that baptism, more importantly, is about how you live this life from this very moment on. Baptism is not so much about the event where you immerse yourself in water. Baptism starts right now. Because what's important is how you live this new life that God has given to you. And what this simply means is this. It involves that willingness of wanting to give up your desires, your agenda, and instead follow God's will. It is that willingness to want to go through much trials and difficulties that comes along with it. You know, it doesn't mean that the moment you are baptized, the moment you follow Jesus, all your problems will disappear. I think it's important that we need to take and remove that thought away from our minds. Right, because the moment you baptize, you come into the Lord's presence, you find that perhaps lo and behold, you'll face more problems. Because why? The devil is one that will never want to let you go. He wants to hold you back. And so we must be prepared to face and go through much trials and difficulties that comes along with it. But the beauty of it all is that this time as we go through much trials, we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior to help us along the way. And to help us really understand better what this means in our time together, I would be focusing this evening, and I want to share with you a passage taken from Joshua 24. And really, it's a passage that's in a way talks a little bit about baptism, and as a result of this, I just want to let you know that this message this evening is not really just for the six of them getting baptized, but it's really a message that serves for all of us. It's a reminder for all of us what is needed for us to live this new life. So you have your Bibles, can I invite you? Let's turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua 24, and I'm going to first cover verses 14 to verse 18. Alright, Joshua 24, verses 14 to verse 18. Alright, the word of God says in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, Far be from it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord God who brought us and our fathers up from the lands of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all in the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who live in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Now we must realize that at this point, Joshua was already quite old, and he had really seen a lot in his lifetime. His early formative years were spent in the service of that great leader and liberator Moses. And in his later years, he took over the mentorship of Moses and lead the people into the battle and to possess the promised land, the land of milk and honey. Joshua was one who had seen the plagues in Egypt. He had witnessed the parting of the Red Sea. He traveled through the desert to the edge of the promised land only to, you know, agonizingly head back to the desert for another 40 years. Why? Because of the people's disobedience to the Lord. Joshua was also there when God separated the Jordan River. He was there when he saw Jericho fall, when he saw the many enemies before him panic and ran away. And so we find that through it all, Joshua had indeed known God's power and presence. He had been a courageous leader with the many scars from 100 battles. And now we read finally, at long last, the 12 tribes of Israel have now been allocated their territories, and they're now going to possess the land that God had promised them. So we find that by now, by this time, Joshua, the veteran commander, was now 110 years old, and he recognized that his time was almost up. And so as a result of this, what did Joshua do? He gathered all the people together for one final address, and we find that his address to the people was rather shocking. We find that his farewell speech in the beginning of this chapter begins first with a recollection of all the mighty things God had done for the people. And then it ended off with the affirmation that God had indeed given them this great land. And then we come to this verse in verse 14, which reads, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness." Now if you were to ponder and pause and think over these last words of Joshua, you find that these words were really a rally call for Israel to get serious in their walk with God. You see, possessing the promised land was likened to living a new life, very much like baptism. It is living behind that old familiar way that they have been so familiar with and starting afresh by embracing what is new. And so as Joshua called the people together, he tells them that you're going to possess this promised land. It is a new life that now you are going to live. And he tells them, in order for you to be successful in this new life, you must do two important things. And what are they? He begins by first telling them that you must make a choice. You must make a choice. And it is a choice in determining who you are going to follow and serve. Verse 15 reads, "Choose this day whom you will serve." I don't know, when I read about this, to me this sounds like general election, you know. Which party are you going to vote for? You know, in this case, the choice is really between Yahweh Action Party, the true God, you know, and on the other side, the other God party. Who or what are these gods that Joshua was referring to? Well, if you look closely to the text, you find that Joshua here was referring to the gods as the many false gods or the many false idols or religion that their ancestors have been worshipping while they were in Egypt as slaves for the last 400 odd years. And you know, this perhaps explains to us why they found it so hard to want to let go of their old ways. If you hold on to something for that long, I'm sure it's difficult to want to put them away. If you've been living in Singapore for all your life and one day your parents tell you, you know, son, daughter, we're going to migrate to, okay, maybe Australia, you guys will say happy, hallelujah. But maybe let's say your parents say you're going to move to Indonesia or something like that. I think many of you will struggle, isn't it? Why? Because you've been living in Singapore for so many years. You have your friends here, your church members here. And so to come out of that old life into a new life, it is indeed difficult. But this is exactly what Joshua was telling the people. You must make a decision. A decision of whether you want to live in your old way or you want to live in a new way of life. Difficult or not, the decision is for them to throw away all these gods and to serve the Lord alone. Now granted, today the gods or the idols which, you know, perhaps we are holding us back today may not be the same as Joshua's time. For all of us, or some of us, maybe the gods that is holding us back are the things that we crave after. You know, things like, I don't know, fame, success, materialism, money. Whatever it may be, note that as long as these things takes first place above God, they become your idols. And the choice that Joshua is telling us is we must make this choice. Do we want to serve these idols? Or do we still want to serve God? You know, many years back when I first started off in my ministry in the school chaplaincy work, I recall there was a time, you see, during my time in the school chaplaincy work, we used to have a youth service back in the school. And in this youth service, we will gather many of the youth to come and worship, because many of these youth are not able to attend church. And so I remember that in this youth service that I have, there was this particular young girl, you know, I think she was sec 3, sec 4, you know, for the 2 years that she was in the school, she was very on the ball. You know, before service starts, she would be there, you know, she would be very early, you know, she never failed to miss any one of our church service. But you know, all that changed one day when she graduated from sec 4, you know, and how is it that those of you, when you finish your sec 4, you know, you have a lot of free time. And so what she decided to do was to go and find work and get some pocket money. And you know, the moment she did that, her whole concept of Christianity changed. Why? Because the moment she went out to work, and the moment she got her first pay, which I cannot remember how much, but you know, when you young people, when you get that amount of money, yeah, it feels good, isn't it? Yeah, it feels like power. Now you can buy anything you want. And that's what was happening to her. She felt that, wow, this amount of money was something that is good. I can get it. I can earn it for myself. And the drawback is this. In order for her to earn that money, it required her to work on the weekends, and that would mean not able to come to church. And so when we found out what was happening, we went to her and we asked her, hey, you know, what was happening to you? Why didn't you come to church anymore? And she began to tell us that she decided that she wanted to work rather than come to church. So the problem here is really this. What is the thing that is holding you? As long as that thing takes first place above God, it becomes your idol. And Jesus warns us in Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. If you have your Bibles, you'll find that Jesus says this, that no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's either God or the other thing. So yes, friends, though the gods may be different, but the call is still the same. We are to put away all that is not right and serve God and God alone. But you know, the problem with many of us is this. We are like the Israelites. We cannot decide. Because why? We want the best of both worlds. We put one foot on each camp and then we decide to sit on the fence. And we say that that's our decision. Young people, let me tell you, that's not a decision. That's a decision that God does not want you to make. You know why? Because that is what the Bible terms as lukewarmness. And if you turn with me now to Revelation chapter 3 verse 15, you hear what the word has to say about lukewarmness. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 15, Jesus says this to the church in Laodicea. He says that because you are lukewarm, you are neither hot nor cold. Listen to what Jesus says next. Because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you are neither hot nor cold, the word of God says that you will be spitted out like vomit. And as Christians, being lukewarm is simply not an option. A decision is required from all of us. It is either we serve the foreign gods or the idols that has an influence and control over us, or we serve God and God alone. Now, if your choice is to be a disciple of Christ, and you decide that you want to take that step of faith, I applaud you. Praise the Lord. But I want you to notice next, the standard of service that is demanded. Because when you look in this passage, Joshua told the people that if you want to serve the Lord, fine, it's okay. But listen to this. He says that you must serve God in sincerity and in faithfulness. It is surrendering your life wholeheartedly to God. In other words, there is no room for casual faith. Serving God is not, well, at our own convenience, or you know, or when things are going on well and fine, or when life is easy, then I make the decision to serve God. What if there's no reward? What if there's no appreciation? What if there's nothing but oppositions and troubles along the way? Joshua said that if you want to serve God, you serve the Lord sincerely and faithfully. No turning back at all. What if you serve, today you make the choice, I want to serve the Lord. But along the way, God doesn't answer your prayers. You don't get the job that you want. The result that you've been working for didn't turn out to be what you want. What are you going to do? Joshua says, you served the Lord, you served Him faithfully and with sincerity. And you know, in this encouragement to the people, we find that Joshua then later testified in verse 15. He says that, you know, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua gave the example. He made the stand to say that, I'm challenging you today to make the choice to serve the Lord. And I am showing you the example by doing it right now. And so as we find that as Joshua made that call, he made the example, we find that the result from verses 16 to 18 is really the expected reply from the people. The people say that, yes, we will serve the Lord. You know, we will forsake all the other gods and we will only worship God and God alone. And then listen to this. They reason. The reason why they will serve God is because of what God has done for them. All the good things that God has done for them. Because God is good to me. Because God has promised me the promised land. He has wiped out all the enemies, you know, and now I have this promised land. I will serve the Lord. But you know something? The shocking part comes next. So let's read and continue verse 19 to 24 onwards. Verses 19 of Joshua 24. But Joshua said to the people, and remember, this is after the people hearing the rally call of Joshua. They said, yes, I will serve the Lord. Joshua then said to the people, he said this, you are not able to serve the Lord. For He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do to you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord and to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. And Joshua said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and His voice we will obey. So what's happening here? What's going on here? You see, it appears that after trying to get the Israelites to make a choice, to commit their life to serve God, which they affirm, Joshua was now saying to them, you cannot serve God. You know, it's like convincing those six who's going to be baptized, you know, after persuading them, oh, you must get better, you must get better. And then Pastor Peter come out and said, the six of you cannot be baptized anymore. You know, I can kind of imagine the scene. As the people gather all around this commander and leader, which they held in deepest respect, after affirming their desire to serve God that He had just called them to, and then hearing this response. Can you picture the place suddenly going very, very quiet? There may be one or two saying, hey, am I hearing correctly or not? Did he just say what I think he said? The mood shifted drastically. From quiet and intense, the people were now confused. And they were even shocked, having what they have committed thrown back to them in their face. But you see, to help us understand the reason behind why Joshua said what he said, we need to look at the entirety of the remaining of Joshua's sentences. Okay? So again, let's look at verse 19. He says this, that you are not able to serve the Lord. Why? He then adds, because the Lord is a holy God. The Lord is a jealous God. Now, don't miss this, okay? You see, up to now, the focus have always been on how good and how wonderful God is. You know, they've always been focusing that God has done good to me. He has provided for me. He has protected me. Suddenly, there's this huge shift in focus. Not on what God has done, but rather on who God is. And my friends, this is very fundamental for our understanding. From a God who did this and that, Joshua is telling them now that you have a God who is holy and jealous. You see, the people had affirmed that they will serve God. Yeah, they will serve God only why? Because of what God had done for them. But Joshua was now telling them, if you want to make this choice, the decision for you to serve God must not be based on what God has done for you, but it must be based on God's being. Meaning to say, based on God's character. So simply put, Joshua was merely querying to them, do you know God's character at all? Do you know that the God that you are going to serve is a holy God? Meaning that He's morally perfect, and because of this, we need to live holy and uprighteous life. Do you know that God is a jealous God? Meaning that God's love for you is so strong and perfect that He will not accept anything else than total commitment and faithfulness. You see, Joshua was trying to tell the people that if you're simply going to say, we're going to serve God because He does good stuff for me, then don't make that decision. Why? Because it won't sustain you through difficult times. That decision you made won't sustain you when you struggle through, or when testing comes, or where God seems to be quiet or not wanting to answer your prayers. The choice that you make to serve Him must not be based on His action, but on His character. And when you do that, you find that you will not waver when the going gets tough. So thus, what Joshua was implying here is very simple. He says, making a choice is not enough. There must now be, number two, a deeper commitment. And that's the second thing that we must do. Firstly, we must make a choice. Secondly, Joshua said, you must also make a commitment. You see, a decision made at a time where there's so much enthusiasm, you know, it's not good enough. Why? Because you will find that a decision made on impulse, you find that you will not commit to it when that whole enthusiasm, the excitement fades away. So Joshua is saying you must have that commitment. And what is the commitment that they must do? He says the commitment, therefore, is for you to put away the foreign gods, the idols that are controlling or influencing you. That's the commitment that you must make if you desire to follow Jesus today. And you notice one thing? When Joshua told the people to put away the foreign gods, he mentioned this two times. Once in verse 14, and then again in verse 23. Now, when the Bible makes mention of a verse again, two times, three times, it is an indication for us that this is something of great importance, and it is important for us to take note. So when Joshua tells the people, you must make this commitment now to put away the idols, it's important for them to take note. Now, what does putting away means? It's important to understand that this word putting away does not mean safekeeping. Alright, it does not mean you put away your idols, you keep it in a safe, under lock and key. Because why, when you put it under lock and key, the tendency is you can always take it out again. This is not what Joshua is telling the people when he says you put away these idols. Rather, it carries the meaning here that you, when you put away, you must discard it. You must throw it away as though it is rubbish. So when Joshua tells us, you make this commitment today to throw away the idols, it is basically telling us that we must forgo all these idols, all these things that are controlling us, and we must not let them control or influence us anymore. The choice we make is to follow and serve the Lord. But the commitment we make is to put away all these idols. As we close, I want to invite the team to come up again. Roy, AJ. I want us to perhaps take this moment and let's just bow our heads and reflect for a moment. I want us to seriously think about our own lives. Because today, as we want to be joyful and celebrate the six brothers and sisters who have given their lives, I think this is so important for us to reflect and ask ourselves, how serious is your walk with God today? You know, it's a question that we all must ask of ourselves. If you desire a relationship with God, you need to make a choice. And we know that life is full of choices. You know, the moment you enter into this world, the process of choosing begins. Your parents will choose a name for you. And as you grow up, you begin to choose the type of clothes you wear, what you will eat, the career path that you will take. And granted that some of these choices will be easy, while others are difficult to decide on. But you know, whatever decision you take, there will always be a consequence to it. When you choose correctly and wisely, you benefit. But when you choose wrongly, we may end up regretting. And today, I want to tell you that there's one choice that we all must make. And that is, have you made the choice to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You know, some of you may think, I'm still young, lah. You know, I have many years ahead of me. Some of you may think, there's still plenty of time. You know, don't worry. I can still decide next week. True. But equally true is this. How many of you can tell me how long you will live? How many of you can tell me today that you're going to have a long life? How many of you can tell me that you will survive through next week? The answer really is we can't. Because we don't know. We may live to this evening and something happened may strike us. Of course, preferably nothing will strike you, but who knows? Something may happen to you. I read of people who are so fit, they train, they run every day, and yet, what happened? They fall down and they died of a heart attack. Can you guarantee that you will live beyond today? The answer is we can't. And today we have the choice to choose whether we want Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So if you have not made the choice this evening, let me challenge you, don't delay. Choose it now. If you don't make it, you never know, because it might be too late. Today, six of our brothers and sisters, they have made the most important choice. They have decided to follow Jesus. For the rest of us, if we did make this choice, it's important now that I want you to consider your commitment to live the life right. Yeah, maybe some of you have been a Christian for many years, but along the way you stumble, you allow the gods to influence and control you. Young people, it's time to make a fresh commitment. It's time to make a commitment to come back to the Lord and serve Him. So this evening, as all eyes close, I would like to address today, perhaps those who have not yet made the decision to follow God. If tonight God is tugging your hearts, I want you to respond. I want you to respond by saying yes. Like the six who've chosen to be baptized. Like the tribes of Israel, they have taken the step that they want to serve and follow the Lord. I want to also serve the Lord. Or perhaps if some of you sense today God is calling you back to recommit your life to serve Him, would you also take the step and say that, yes Lord, I want to recommit back. I've been living a life that is not right. I want to recommit today. Shall we all stand as we allow the Spirit to minister to us for a moment, and going to ask AJ to lead us in this song. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit for a moment. As you've heard the word this evening being preached, I want to address that those of you who have not yet made the decision to follow God, if what has been said to you makes sense, and you know that, you know, you've been struggling with this, you've been going on for quite some time and you have not taken that step of faith, I want to encourage you. Would you, where you are, as all eyes have been closed, you just quickly raise your hands as an indication for me so that I can pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I see that hand. A couple of hands. Thank you. Yes, three. Yes. Just quickly put the hands and put it down. Thank you, Jesus. And also for those of us this evening, you know, you have been struggling in your Christian life. It's never easy, isn't it? Yeah. Let me tell you a secret. I struggle myself. Growing up as a young Christian, I stumble and fall too. Like you, I stumble and fall. But you know, as I make the recommitment back to serve the Lord, I stand here today with all of you. So as I, this evening again, as I address those of you who perhaps are struggling in your Christian life and you want to make the recommitment back to the Lord, would you also, as I encourage you, just raise your hand, quickly raise your hands and put it down so that I can pray for you. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, all these hands. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to the Lord. Father, indeed, this evening we want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that opportunity to be able to make a choice to say that, yes, Lord, I want to serve you. Father, you see all these hands that has been raised this evening. Hands that says that, Lord, I want to serve you. Will you continue to touch them? I ask of you, will you continue to minister to them? Continue to show them the true and living God that you are. And Father, even also for those hands that have been raised, who have been struggling in their Christian life, they stumble, they fall. You know, you see that all. But yet, Lord, as they make their recommitment back to you, the Lord wants you to know that He embraces you with open arms. So as I challenge all of you, as you've taken that step, whatever it may be, will the mighty power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to strengthen you in all goodness? Will He continue to uphold you and lift you up? So even as we leave this place, may we continue to be faithful in serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For those of you who have raised your hands just now and wanting to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, alright, I don't want to embarrass any of you, but I want you to take this opportunity. You have raised the hands. This is a good step of faith. Now I want you to go to your leaders, alright, and tell them that I've one of those who raised their hands, and your leaders will be there to kind of lead you into making this decision. Alright? And the rest of you, if you do need prayers for recommitment, again, I think at the end of the service, alright, I'll leave it to Pastor Peter to, you can come up and we'll be here to pray for you.
So just thank Pastor Darren, you know, for his word. And really to encourage our friends who have responded, you know, many years ago, right, my sister and I, we attended a service like this. And I'm just so thankful that at that time, right, I wasn't courageous enough to respond, raise my hand or whatever. But because my sister did, later on they have friends who actually kept in touch with us. And in that sense, I didn't miss that opportunity to be able to know the Lord. So, like what Pastor Darren has said, if you are one of those who have responded, you know, just tell your friends that who have brought you here that you want to get to know more about this Jesus that we talk about. Or if you didn't come with a friend but you came by yourself, after the service, please do not rush off. Just come, all right, on the front. There'll be some of our friends who will be here to talk to you. But for the rest of us, I think let's really, you know, leave this place with that renewed desire to want to know God, not just, you know, for what He can do in our lives, but to really know who is He like. What does He want for our lives? How does He want us to live both as individuals and as a community? Alright, so I'll just end the service off here with that challenge, and you're free to go off.